Nick DeGilio. Hi, that's me. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5, and then we'll hang out for hour number 1 of the Steve Cochran Show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can also send your texts to 312-981-7200. We're going to be playing back some great Pat and Ron highlight reel memories, including the very first one that we ever got. And yeah, and so we'll go back in time and play some of these. And Ted, is there any one that you specifically remember laughing at the hardest?
Boy, miso soup.
Yeah, we'll be hearing miso soup.
Miso soup's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll have miso soup. I was talking with Pat on the air Friday. Last Friday, when we were at Wrigley to sing the stretch, I did the bottom.
Was your microphone on for that?
My microphone was on for the interview.
Okay, oh,
yes.
That's good.
You know why? Because Matt Bolt was in charge.
Oh, well, there
that's
you
why.
Go. Yeah.
I was up there with Ron and Pat on the bottom of the sixth. I spent that half inning there, and we were talking. And I told him my favorite one, my favorite memory of Pat and Ron, and it's when Ron suggests that they shoot this guy who's screaming.
That's in Houston, isn't it?
I think it was in Houston. Yes. And then, of course, could you sit down, please? When the guy is holding up the sign and he can't see, and Pat can't see. These are so we've got a bunch of classic Pat and Ron highlights coming up. But Pat Hughes, a consummate professional, spent 19 years in the booth here at WGN calling the Cubs games, and is a remarkably talented guy and a really nice guy. And great at his job, and absolutely deserves to be inducted into the Walk of Fame. And so we can listen to this induction, correct, Dan? All right, let's give it a shot. This is Pat Hughes yesterday being inducted into the Walk of Fame, WGN.
Pat, 1 year with the Minnesota Twins, 12 years with the Milwaukee Brewers, 19 years and counting now with the Chicago Cubs, all told 32 years in the majors in a business which doesn't exactly breed longevity. When you started out with the Twins back in 83, did you think you'd still be at it today?
No, I had no idea, Dave. Being a big league baseball announcer is the dream of countless young announcers all over the world. You want to be at the highest level. You want to do NFL or NHL or NBA. I wanted to be a baseball announcer. I was lucky enough to get the job at a relatively young age, and I can't even believe I'm lucky enough to still be doing it all these years later, especially in such a wonderful sports town with a classic franchise, the Chicago Cubs. I am one lucky guy.
You had already, can applaud that. You had already worked with Bob Uecker. You get a call from WGN. You come to work alongside Ron Santo and Harry Carey, a couple of legends, a couple of strong personalities. Intimidating or exciting?
I would say a little bit of both, Dave, and maybe a lot of other words I could use to describe that whole scene. But I would say 12 years with Uecker and 15 with Santo and just a little bit of sanity remaining after 27 with those guys. But I would not trade the experience for the world. I've been so lucky with partners. My current partner, Ron Coomer, is right down in front right here. He's going to be great. We get along beautifully, and I hope that as long as I'm here, Ronnie, you are seated right alongside of me. I've loved this year, so thank you. And Keith Moreland, before Ron, did 3 excellent years. Ron Santo, 15 years, he and I, it was amazing. So many laughs every single day. Yes, his hairpiece really did catch on fire. It's a true story. The flame was not actually shooting out the top of his head, but it was smoking. But it was a joy. Also, the other 3 booth partners here with the Cubs that I've had. Judd Surratt is here today. Judd does great work, and he's a true friend, and I thank you for everything, Judd. Before him, Corey Provis, who now is the Minnesota Twins radio voice, and Andy Mazur, who's done some work for the Padres, and I believe Andy is here. And also with the Cubs, the one guy that's been here since 01, a great friend of mine, and he's here today. That's the producer-engineer, my good buddy Matt Bolts. He's the best engineer, the best producer, the best combination, and one of the best people I've ever worked for. And right in the front row, I'd be remiss if I don't mention my wife, Trish, and my daughter, Amber. Because when the husband and father is a baseball announcer, he is gone for 100-plus days a year. And my wife, Trish, keeps everything together at the house, getting the kids off to the doctors and the veterinarians and keeping all the home fires burning. So thank you for that. And my other daughter, Janelle, is working and living out of state, could not be here today. But just thanks to all of you. I've been very lucky here in Chicago. And again, the people in the booth have been extra special.
I want to get Bill and Wendy in here in a moment after the break. A couple other people we wanted to recognize here today. A guy who has shared the booth frequently with you, former Cub Dave Otto, is here today. A couple of guys with whom you used to work at Clark and Addison, now the president and CEO of the Chicago Blackhawks, John McDonough. And the senior vice president of the Blackhawks, Jay Blunk. Guys, thank you.
And I want to thank you, Dave. I want to thank Jimmy DeCastro of WGN Radio. I want to thank... Go ahead, you can applaud, you bet. Todd Manley and you were the guys on the phone that called me about this wonderful honor about a month ago. I want to thank Todd Manley for all that he has done. Jackie Paulus has been great. There are so many people. Jeff Hill, I don't want to leave anybody out, and that's the danger you run when you start thanking people. But, Dave, you are... great at what you do, and I have no doubt that you will also have one of these plaques in your name one of these days.
Thank you. This is your day, Pat, and today's Walk of Fame induction ceremony honoring Pat Hughes is presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDrivesChicago.com.
And we are live here on 720 AM WGN Radio. We're live from Pioneer Court. It's the induction ceremony of Pat Hughes to the WGN Walk of Fame. And this induction ceremony sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers.
And away we go.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
WGN Radio welcomes Pat Hughes.
Invite him to your next party.
Oh, to the WGN Walk of Fame.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, it's our friend Dave Ennett, and of course Pat Hughes. Pat, what is the mindset calling a game for the Cubs as opposed to any other team in baseball?
Well, I think I've done this for so long, it would be difficult really to compare it with the Yankees or the Dodgers. I try to do many things on every broadcast. I try to be prepared, I try to do my best and have fun. I think going to a ballpark every day is an enjoyable experience. If you don't laugh and have a couple of really good belly laughs every single day at the ballpark, you're missing the point. But having said that, once the game starts and we're on the air, we try to be as accurate and as descriptive as possible, as prepared. I always think about my partner, Ron Coomer. I try to tap into his great knowledge of being an ex-player and ask him why a play worked or what kind of a pitch do you want to see thrown right here or what kind of a pitch did he just hit? Why didn't that play work? Whatever it is, I want to get his knowledge on the air. I also want Judd Surratt to be involved with chiming in on the out-of-town scores. Matt Boltz is our great producer-engineer. I always look at it like doing a Cubs game is not about me. It's about the whole booth. It's about the people I work for at WGN Radio. It's about the sponsors who are paying our salaries. But beyond all of that, and maybe the most important element, is the fans. The fans of the Chicago Cubs are so unbelievably passionate and generous, and they've been so kind to me, it's unbelievable. So that is probably the overall greatest thing about being the voice of the Cubs is the audience that I get to perform for every single day.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And you do it so well, and when you talk about being prepared and descriptive, when is the Pat Hughes thesaurus coming out? I would like to know that, because the way you describe everything, why don't you describe this gorgeous day today in Pioneer Court?
Well, it really is beautiful. It's an early fall day, gorgeous sunny weather. It's going to cool off pleasantly perhaps later on tonight, and it's the Cubs and Cardinals at Wrigley. But you know what? I'm actually a little bit emotional today, seriously, thinking that later on tonight, at Wrigley Field. That'll be the final game that I call on WGN Radio from Wrigley. And that's kind of a sad moment after this very joyous occasion that I've experienced here with everyone today.
Absolutely. Dave? Well, since you mentioned it, Pat, looking back on 19 years, what memories of your time at WGN will you take with you?
I think you played some of the highlights that I loved. I think the very first game I did with Ron Santa was memorable for me. It was in spring training, and it was actually the night before. Here's Ronnie, a superstar, one of the great ball players of all time, but he and I are going to be partners for the first game the next day. He calls me at the place I'm staying in Arizona, and he says, Pat, look, I know you're coming from Milwaukee, a small market, but you're going to be great. You do the play-by-play. I'll do the color. We're going to have fun. And as soon as I hung up the phone, I was no longer nervous. I thought, what a very kind gesture by Ron Santo. And the next day, then, in the first half inning of the first game, Cubs are playing the Mariners in Mesa, Arizona. Mariners get the bases loaded with nobody out. Ronnie's already groaning. It's the first game of the Cactus League. But Frank Castillo works out of the jam without giving up a run. And the last out, I think, is a pop-up caught by Mark Grace. Inning over. Mariners don't score at the end of a half. Mariners nothing. Cubs coming up. Ron Santo stood up, and he smiled at me like a little 10-year-old kid, as if to say, oh, boy, this is great. And I thought, boy, if he's that excited after the first half inning of the Cactus League, wait till we get into the postseason.
Right.
But that's a great memory for me. And then the 20-strikeout game by Kerry Wood. I don't know how many games I've broadcast in the big leagues, but it's well over 5,000. That is the best pitched game I've ever seen. And I've covered 3 no-hitters.
Yep.
It was better than the no-hitters. It was unbelievable. 20 strikeouts, no walks, throwing almost 100 miles an hour with a vanishing breaking ball. It almost looked like he was throwing a wiffle ball into the wind. The wiffle ball's without holes. You guys played that with your kids.
Sure.
And they could break like 8 feet. He was doing that with a baseball that day against Houston. I was going to say, Bill, every time the Cubs win a division, it's exciting. Or even when they're a contender, it's exciting. Because as I said earlier, Wendy and Bill and Dave and everyone else, I think about the fans and what it would mean to them if the Cubs go to the postseason and ultimately if the Cubs win the World Series. That's beyond exciting to me. I can't even imagine how much fun that would be.
We all want it to happen for so many reasons, but one is to have you, and when Ron was with us, and now Ron who's with us today, to have you experience that means even more to us. I really mean that.
Well, I certainly hope that day is coming. I wish it could have happened when Ron Santo was still with us, certainly. Every year I get letters from fans who say, unfortunately, my grandmother just passed away. She was a lifelong Cubs fan. We wanted the Cubs to win a World Series before it was too late. Unfortunately, it did not happen. That's a recurring theme in many of the correspondence notes and emails that I receive. But one of these days, and I know you've heard that your whole life, I know, but you got to stay optimistic. What other options do you have? You got to keep hoping.
Pat, you're one of the greatest voices in baseball history, one of the greatest storytellers in baseball history. It's an honor to know you and to listen to your work. It really is.
Bill, thank you. It's very nice.
That's Pat Hughes, everybody.
All right. Very nice. Very nice and well-deserved. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, man, we're going to go back in time and listen to some Pat and Ron highlight reel, man. We used to do that every Sunday night, 2005 to 2010, and we've got hours and hours of great clips, and we're going to play a bunch of them. Remembering Pat and Ron, and congratulations to Pat Hughes, absolutely brilliant guy who deserves that induction into the WGN Walk of Fame.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
A one, a two, a three. Me out to the ball game. Me out to the crowd.
Yeah.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Ah, yes. That's our old intro. Remember that, Dan? That's... Oh, yeah. Hello. Oh, man. All right. Pat Hughes was just inducted into the WGN Walk of Fame, deservedly so, and we are going to celebrate by bringing back some of those really great highlight reels that we used to do on the show on Sunday nights, Pat and Ron's highlight reel. We started doing it in 2005. And in fact, this is the very first clip that we played as the Pat and Ron show highlight reel. Here we go.
Maddox against Jay Sow. A guy whose name you can say quicker than any player in the big leagues.
Jay Sow.
See what I mean? Fly ball to right. Burnett's coming in. He's got it. And that's the first out in the inning. Or I should say the second out in the inning. Yeah, if you really concentrate, you can say his full name in less than a second. Do it again.
Jay Sow.
See? Jay Sow. See, before you even know what's been said, his full name has been
said.
Broadcast, yes. The heat is not getting to us.
No.
Chris Woodward, the batter. Woodward has walked, flied out, and singled a drive and a run. Here's a ball down low. I was watching the History Channel either today or yesterday. There's a famous American astronaut with two first names. John Glenn. Just wanted to pass that along to you, Ron. I know that would mean a lot to you. The 1-0 popped up, foul. Right side, Lee over. Does he have room? Yes. Derek Lee, a guy with two first names as well, by the way.
There you go. Very first one, man. And it was I was listening to the game that day, and as soon as he did the jigsaw, I was like, I mean, we got to play this on the air. The next one that we're going to play was my ex-wife Heather's favorite of all time, and she was responsible for finding this clip. This is, you know, Ron had a tendency to spill things in the booth, and they talked about that quite a bit. It was a running gag, and here's a real quick one here. Ron spilled something.
Sento devouring an orange between innings. Here comes the 1-1. And it is in there for a strike, 1-2. Maybe it's because Walker got picked off to end the top of the inning, but it almost looked like you were squeezing some fresh orange juice
out of
there.
Thank you very much. Normally, Patrick, I peel it, but when that strikeout throw out, I just squeezed it and just squeezed it all over me.
Just a little spillage on your pants leg. Not a big deal.
No, not a big deal. There's no doubt about it. I'll hardly tell.
Here's a swing and a foul back by George Piedra. Thankfully, Andy Mazur came to the rescue with a napkin. Well, so you.
I said to Matt, I said, do you have a napkin? He looks around. Normally he does. He didn't have one. I needed one badly. He said, how about paper? How about paper? How about paper?
There's a swing and a line drive foul by Piedra. 2-2. 1-1 tie in the third. You mean he just wants to give you, like, binder paper to...
Paper. What's that going to do? But just make it worse.
Here's a stat sheet. Go dry up. Here's the 2-2 pitch down low for a ball. 3-2.
Well, Andy was kind enough to get me some napkins, and now I feel like I'm okay.
As your friend, I should tell you that as you wiped your cheek off, Ron, several chunks of that napkin remained behind. It's not a bad look on you, though.
Oh, no, it's I hadn't shaved, so my whiskers probably grabbed some of it.
Oh, man, it's so much fun listening to these things. Yeah, we'll take your phone calls, too, 312-981-7200, celebrating Pat Hughes' induction into the WGN Walk of Fame by listening to some great old Pat and Ron highlight reels. 312-981-7200 is the phone number and the text number. News is next. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 o'clock, and then we'll hang out for hour one of the Steve Cochran Show. Our phone number and text number is the same. It's 312-981-7200. Pat Hughes was inducted into the WGN Walk of Fame yesterday, deservedly so. And so that gives us an excuse to take out some of these classic Pat and Ron highlight reel bits that we've got that date back to 2005. Some really great stuff. Very, very funny listening to Pat Hughes and Ron Santo. And if you have any memories that you'd like to share with us, you can text them or call us at 312-981-7200. Here's Mike on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Yep.
Hi.
Oh, am I on?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, Nick, how you doing? Listen, I love this topic, and I'll tell you something. I'm a lifelong born and raised Southside, you know, a White Sox fan, but I used to tune in just to listen to the back and forth between those two guys. And my personal favorite, and they're on the radio, so it you know, you have to appreciate the, you know, the way Pat would set him up for this stuff. But he'd say, "Well, Ronnie," he says, "I'm sure our listeners are wondering how you came to get that mustard stain on your shirt," and Ron would be, why would you bring that up? And he'd say, "Well, you know, they're very observant. I'm sure that, you know, like they can hear it,
right?"
And he'd make him tell the story about how, you know, they're in Cincinnati or wherever the heck they're at, and he tries to get a hot dog, and he pushed down on the mustard dispenser, and it squirted sideways instead of down on the hot dog. It was good stuff, and it was wholesome, and he was the perfect straight man without being, you know, it's not like he was picking on him, but at the same time, it's the likes of that we'll never see again, because they were the perfect pairing. And and I'll tell you, it's something that like these highlights that you're playing, it brings it all back, and I think it's something that we're all going to miss forever.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we've got these, you know, we've got hours of these highlights, and, you know, every once in a while we'll bust them out and share them, and that's what we're doing this morning. And it says a lot, Mike, that you're a hardcore Sox fan, and you would listen to the Cub games just because of those two guys. It makes a lot of sense.
Just for those guys. Yeah. I'm coming around. I mean, I'm not one of those hardcore haters, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, you're Oak Forest, I'm Moreland Park, where you grow up, and it's very much,
yeah.
You know, and when the Cubs were good, you had a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon and stuff. So
right.
It's, you know, hey, I'd love to see him do well. And
yeah.
I think it's a shame he didn't get to see himself get into the Hall of Fame. I think that's one of baseball's biggest mistakes.
I agree.
Well, what's the sense of it? You know,
but, all right, Mike.
No, great show.
Thanks,
great
Mike.
Show. Thank you. Good
all right,
topic.
Have a good one. 312-981-7200. All right, let's get back to these Pat and Ron show highlights. Here's another one.
Well, Michael Barrett hitting fourth in the lineup. Ramirez having the day off. He's pulled a little what they call butt muscle, and
I beg your pardon.
Well, that's what it's called. You know, hitters do, when they overswing, they have a tendency to do that, and so now you got Babe Ruth hitting in the fourth spot. He's hit three home runs in 3 days.
Barrett takes outside. I just had never heard that phrase you used a moment ago, Ron. That's all.
It's legitimate. I don't know what they call the butt muscle, to be honest with you.
Gluteus maximus? Or was that the star of the movie Troy? I forget. One ball and no strikes. On Barrett, here's the stretch. And a throw to second is not in time. Well, you always use those scientific terms, Ron.
Yeah,
I'm sure a doctor would use that.
I use the term that Baker used on the show today.
There you go. Butt muscle. You know, it's always a successful.
That was my radio sidekick name.
Butt muscle?
Yeah, for the morning zoo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was butt muscle.
You know, it's always one of my favorite things about when we play these clips is listening to Boltsy laughing in the background. That's always one of my favorites, is whenever you get Bolts to crack up, or Judd to crack up, or, you know, Andy or Corey, whoever was up in the booth at the time. It just always a success. It's always a successful moment when you can get Boltsy in there laughing. And we've got a lot of that coming up. All right. Let's see. Let's play this next one. And Ron, as you know, he had a tendency to spill things.
Nice to see Jimmy Bank, the Cubs traveling secretary, dropping by our booth. Jimmy, I think, was in that clubhouse yesterday when a certain Cubs legend was thirsty for some coffee. Here's Mabry taking low and in, ball four, leadoff walk, and here's Matt Merton. And the only problem was the coffee was still brewing at the time that this legendary figure was thirsty.
Well, can I tell you first?
Your name wasn't mentioned.
Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. Everybody knows it's going to be me. My point was I don't drink regular coffee because of the caffeine, so decaf. So the clubhouse boy had to make a pot of decaf, and I was in kind of a hurry, and I noticed that, you know, I would have had to wait another couple minutes, but I was in a hurry, so I just took the pot and poured it and put the pot back there. It was so quick, you could barely see how quick, you know what I mean? I probably didn't spill but a drop. And I noticed you looking at me and mentioned, did you spill much? It didn't look like it. You know, so...
Well,
these things happen.
They do happen.
They do happen. And it's amazing. They always happen to me. It's amazing.
I would say the drop is a little bit on the lean side, though, Ron. It was more like several thousand drops. As Matt Merton bats, here's the pitch on the way. Matt takes low.
Well, I could have got out of there quickly if it wasn't for you.
I just happen to be standing there. I'm a reporter. I don't want to report these things. I have to.
Yeah.
A lot of coffee spilled out onto the floor. Several Cubs were walking by. Jim Hendry, in fact, almost slipped and fell, and he was not in a great mood anyway, as you can imagine. Here's the pitch. Chapped slowly to third. Cabrera charges. He'll throw to first, and it's in time. Safe at second is John Mabry. One away, and the batter, Sean Marshall. 4-0 Marlins here in the third inning. Hendry was heard to mutter fiddlesticks as he almost slipped and fell on that coffee. Here's Marshall. Derek Lee came by. Derek, of course, on the disabled list.
Wow, now wait a minute. You're embellishing this.
Parts of the story are always embellished for the entertainment value, Ron.
Yeah, absolutely.
Derek started to slip.
Last thing in the world, yeah, sure.
Andy Mazur and Matt Boltz were there, Jimmy Bank, and they kind of formed a human mattress cushion type deal as Derek started to go down. Here's Marshall now taking a strike, and Derek's left arm, his good arm, was exposed. And thanks to the quick thinking of Matt and Andy and Jimmy, he probably will get back in the Cubs lineup a lot quicker than he otherwise would have. I wasn't sure exactly where that story was going.
I was hoping it would end quickly.
There is a strike, and the count is 0-2. But a lot of people were asking, hey, who's the guy who spilled all the coffee? I don't know.
Now the whole world knows.
But you were happy with your coffee, weren't you?
Yeah, I thought I made a quick move. I really did.
Here's a pitch outside. Some of the writers almost slipped and fell on that coffee, too.
That wouldn't have been bad.
Now, that was Ron. Jeff Vorva lost one of his V's when he slipped and fell.
Oh, man. This is just great stuff. Pat Hughes was inducted yesterday to the WGN Walk of Fame, so we're going back in time and listening to some Pat and Ron highlights that we've gathered over the years. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Good morning. It's Thursday, and we're here till 5. The phone number and text are the same. If you want to send a text or give us a call with sharing your Pat and Ron memories, 312-981-7200. As you all know, Pat Hughes was inducted into the WGN Walk of Fame yesterday, deservedly so. So that gives us an excuse to bring out these classic Pat and Ron highlights, Pat Hughes and Ron Santo highlights. We used to do the Pat and Ron highlight reel every Sunday night on my show. We've got 5 years worth of memories, and we're going to continue doing them right here. This is one of my favorites. Well, they're all great, but this is particularly this one cracks me up.
Oh, I got a very unusual fax here, Pat.
Yeah?
Not many that you get like this, but I have to read it. And it says here, hello, Mr. Sano.
Ground ball fair inside first down the right field line. Bennett will take a big turn and hold with a single as Jones gets it back in.
And good relay throw there. And it says, I've been wanting to write you for a long while now. I have a problem that afflicts senior women such as myself and wonder if you may be of help. My problem, if of any intimate nature, but since we're the same vintage, I feel you would be understanding.
I can't wait for this one, Ron. Here's a swing and a foul back in the count 0-1.
My problem has to do with, I'm going to whisper, and it is very small letters, feminine itching. Now, I'm not through. I see you baseball players have considerable difficulty with grabbing the offending area throughout the ball game, and that you may have some advice.
Ronnie, I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, I know nothing about the senior women's situation. I do know, and I am a senior man, but as you know, a lot of the ball players are young ball players, and I can only tell you that it's the equipment that is underneath the uniform.
I'll see you Sunday, Ron. Swinging a foul back by Marquise.
In the offending area, and it there's a cuff that you put in your jock strap, and, you know, it can move around a little bit. And that's why you see these players, when they're on second or first or even on a mound, you know, grabbing the offending area. I don't think they're itching.
Marquise Bunning fouls it off, and down he goes.
That's my best explanation.
So is that where the phrase starting from scratch comes from?
Well, Maggie Gill, I'm sure that, you know, me as a senior person, I have the same problem, right?
We're all witnesses, Maggie. He does. Here's Miles batting. One away. Here's the pitch. Pop fly on the infield. Left side, it'll be caught by Torres. And there are two down. Fourth inning, 4-1 Cardinals. And the batter is Duncan.
You get a lot of emails, a lot of facts. We solve a lot of problems, but this one's a very...
And start some others.
Yes.
Here is Duncan batting. Duncan has homered and hit a sacrifice fly. Well, thanks, Maggie. We needed that good chuckle.
Absolutely, Maggie. And we try to solve a lot of problems up here. We can't solve our own.
There you go. That one just entitled Feminine Itching. Oh, man. Playing back Pat Hughes and Ron Santo clips. Pat Hughes now a member of the Walk of Fame here at WGN. Here's Bob Young. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
This is one that happened quite a while ago, and it's a great moment, but, of course, you'll never be able to play it on the radio. The Cubs were in L.A. or San Francisco. It's one of those, you know, real late-night games, and it was 11 o'clock or 11:30. It was getting in, you know, the late innings of the game. And the L.A., I'll call it L.A., the L.A. pitcher had been pitching high and inside to the Cubs all night long, dusting guys back, really, you know, really high and tight. And Santo was getting real aggravated with it, and he made a couple of comments about it. So finally, the opposing pitcher came up to plate, and the Cub pitcher put one right up under his chin. And the guy, of course, went down in the heap, down in the dirt and all that. And Santo said, good, that'll put an end to that poop, only he didn't say poop. And Booth cracked up. I mean, it was just Pat Hughes could barely get his composure.
Yeah.
And then later on, Pat said that they were getting phone calls. People wanted to know where they could apply to the Ron Santo School of Broadcasting. And when Steve and Johnny came on, Dan Shigeru, your producer, was in. He was working for Steve and Johnny at that time. And those were the days before the producer was really an involved part of the show. Like, you know, you got him on mic a lot. He has a lot of, but mainly he just spoke from the control room. And they were all laughing a lot. I don't know if Dan remembers it or not, but I was up because I was going to be on their show, you know, early into the show. And I was waiting for Dan to call me. And so he was there. But it was quite a memorable night.
Yeah.
And I remember best Pat Hughes just speaking. He could barely speak for a long time. And the whole booth would just fell out when he did that. And it's too bad you can't play that one on the radio.
No,
that was a beauty.
Can't play that one on the radio. That's not going to happen. All right, Bob, thanks.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Dan.
Yeah, all right. You remember that night, Dan?
I do remember that night. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I always loved those late night games because it just had a different vibe. You know, you could tell that they were kind of tired and, you know, it was a little more relaxed and a little different, you know.
Especially always, extra innings.
Yeah.
Those were the best.
And he would always say, like, we appreciate you listening back in Chicago. We know it's, you know,
yeah,
past midnight there and things like that.
Yeah. That was great stuff.
They were also at their best when it was a blowout.
Oh, completely.
Because they didn't, you know, they didn't have to spend as much time talking about every aspect of the game. They could just kick back and converse.
Oh, yeah. No, so I think some of the best clips that we have are when either the Cubs were killing or they were getting killed. So all right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got news. Pat Hughes was honored yesterday with being inducted into the Wall of Fame here at Walk of Fame here at WGN, and we're playing some great Pat and Ron clips and bringing back some great memories. Text or call us, 312-981-7200. News is next. Hi, everybody. It's Thursday. And we are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of Trib Tower here till 5 o'clock. Then we'll hang out for hour one of the Steve Cochran Show. Our phone number and text are the same, 312-981-7200. We're playing back some Pat and Ron clips from the old days. We started doing the Pat and Ron Show highlight reel back in 2005, and we collected a bunch of clips. We'd play them every Sunday night with you know, Pat Hughes and Ron Santo, and we've got just gold. And this stuff is hilarious and great. And since Pat was honored yesterday by being inducted into the WGN Walk of Fame, that gave us an excuse to take out some of these great clips and play them. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're remembering how much fun it was to listen to Pat and Ron and how great Pat was and is at his job. And he deserves to be a part of the Walk of Fame. And that's awesome. And they had a ceremony yesterday. We played the induction ceremony. And then they also interviewed Matt Boltz, who is the producer, engineer, Ron Coomer, his partner, and Judd Surratt, who's also up in the booth. So let's hear them talking about Pat.
It's hard to believe. 2 decades of calling Cubs radio for WGN. That's a lot of good baseball, and that's a lot of bad baseball.
Pat, congratulations on being immortalized at WGN, and trust me, Cooperstown is not far off. You have provided Cubs fans with so many great memories, and you have been fabulous to work with. I have learned so much from you over these last few years.
To be around somebody who's as good as Pat at what he does, it's just great to be around him and just kind of follow in the wake of what he does and just call Cubs games.
Baseball, in a lot of ways, is about escape. People can escape their daily lives. And you, along with Ron Santo, Keith Moreland, and now Ron Coomer, allow fans to do that. They can sit back, relax, laugh, and drift into Cubs baseball and Major League Baseball.
He's one of those people that you learn something every day.
You know, man, no matter what, you've always showed up to the ballpark, prepared, ready to go. You have a bunch of stories. Your knowledge and your love for the game is transparent on every single baseball broadcast.
It's just absolutely well-deserved for a guy who I believe is going to be soon to be inducted into Baseball Hall of Fame. But, you know, he's the voice of the Chicago Cubs, has been for a long time. So, Pat, congrats, partner.
I've been fortunate and lucky enough to be with you the last 14 seasons, and we've had a lot of good times. And you've always taught me to work hard, bringing a good attitude matters, and that, you know, we should laugh every single day. So it's been an honor to work with you all this time, and I'm certainly proud and want to say congratulations to you and to WGN. And I hope tonight, Pat, once it all sinks in and after the ceremony and after the broadcast, you get to pull off that sweater from the booth, that real sharp-looking sweater, and pull on those nice trousers that you like, the ones with the pinstripes down the side. Have a bowl of tuna fish and asparagus and maybe have a half a beer. Congratulations, Pat.
Pat, congratulations. Well deserved.
I'm thrilled. It's a tremendous honor. I've loved my 19 years here, and it's gone very fast. It's been a great place to work. I love doing the Cubs games, and I feel very honored to think that the memory of my work on WGN will now be preserved for posterity. We have the best audience that any performer could ever possibly dream of working in front of, and those are Cub fans. They are unbelievably sweet, and I love them.
Thanks to Matt Boltz and Judd Surratt for a job well done.
There you go. Congratulations to Pat Hughes. All right, let's go back and listen to some more stuff here. This is a classic Pat and Ron clip. A classic.
I'm glad we're going to Philly first. Too much of a shock for me to go to New York first.
There is a strike, 0-1 on Zimmerman. I saw the article that Tony Jannetty wrote about you in the Chicago Sun-Times the other day.
I didn't see it.
You said, Ron, something like, this is always, it always makes you a little nervous going to New York. For two reasons, that black cat back in 1969 that wandered around when you were in the on-deck circle. And, of course, the now famous episode of you burning your hairpiece on that little electric heater in our booth at Shea.
That was more traumatic than the black cat.
You still have issues, don't you?
And I've got a new piece, so I got to be real careful.
That's what it said. That's what the article said. I've got a brand new hairpiece, so I got to be extra careful. Did you ever save that one that got singed?
Oh.
No?
No.
Maybe put it up on eBay or something?
Yeah.
Some Cub fan would buy it. One ball, one strike, at a reduced rate, certainly.
Of course.
Can't charge full price for one that's been burned. One ball, one strike on Zimmerman.
That was something.
Could have happened to anybody, Ron.
No, it just me. It was so cold up there.
It was quite a sight to see smoke billowing out the top of your head. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Curveball just missed in the count 2-1.
I'm there standing for the national anthem, and I'm going, boy, my head's getting warm.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, what's...
Ron started saying a few words that I can't really repeat right now on Cubs radio, but they indicated to me that he was in pain. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Fouled away off to the right, 2-2.
Then, of course, with your wonderful dry sense of humor, I'm saying to you, does it look bad?
I lied. I said, it doesn't look bad at all, really. What's a little divot in the top of your head?
Exactly. That's what.
It's right near the Masters Golf Tournament. It looked like somebody had, taken a few pitching wedge shots off the top of your noggin.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was like. And when I took that baby off, oh, my gosh.
There you go. Classic story of Ron burning his hairpiece. All right, let's go to another one. This involves throwing peanuts.
Between innings, we were starving for entertainment, quite frankly, considering this game and this series.
Right.
And a certain Cubs legend, from a little prompting from his partner, I might add,
yes,
grabbed individual peanuts and started launching them into the crowd to the unsuspecting customers down below. Here's a pitch that missed for a ball to Osmus, 1-0.
And I noticed you were, I'm sitting down firing peanuts out there, and you're standing up acting like, just like you're not looking, or it's not me, it's some other guy.
Notice I had the hands behind me. Did you notice that? Didn't want them thinking I was the guilty party.
That's right.
But, Ron, I was curious what was going to happen to those peanuts he was tossing. I felt it was my duty as a journalist
to narrate.
There was one peanut that struck a very attractive lady in the left side of the face. She is just now getting back to her feet. Here is a pitch down low for a ball. It's 1-1.
Oh.
We're embellishing.
Yes, very much so.
It's a night for embellishment, Ron.
Yes, it is. It's a night that you can cry. You want to laugh.
You got to laugh, or else you're right. You will cry.
You will cry.
But she was staggered by that peanut blow to the left side of her jaw. Here's a chopper foul right side. And her husband, helping her to her feet, he said, honey, we'll have you back on solid food in no time.
And then I was going one at a time, and then I threw two out.
I know, a doubleheader. Here's the 2-2 pitch on the way, down low for a ball. You had very good form, I want to say, too. You had good follow-through on the throws. good wrist snap. And a couple of other peanuts. In fact, it might have been that double struck another woman in the left arm.
All the peanuts I threw out, no guy got one?
Not that I saw. And I followed him very closely. Here's a chopper foul, 3-2. But the lady who was struck in the arm is being ushered off to the first aid area. Might be somebody else.
Oh, yes.
Three balls and two strikes. There was another elderly gentleman who tried to catch a peanut in his mouth, which really surprised me. But he was wearing a Cubs shirt, and maybe he knew it was you throwing it, Ron. But he missed. Struck him in the eye.
And again, as you can tell, that was a blowout. You heard them talking about it. That was a blowout. So what does Ron do? Starts throwing peanuts at the crowd. All right. Pat Hughes inducted into the WGN Walk of Fame yesterday, and we are playing back some great old Pat and Ron clips, and we got much more to do here. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. And it's a Thursday morning here till 5 a.m., and then we'll hang out for hour one of the Steve Cochran Show as well. The phone number is 312-981-7200, and you can also send texts to 312-981-7200. I got some texts here. We are playing back some classic Pat and Ron clips from our old Pat and Ron highlight reel days that we used to do on Sunday night show. And these are some really great moments with Pat Hughes, who was just inducted to the WGN Walk of Fame yesterday, and Ron Santo. So we thought that'd be a good excuse to take out some of these great clips and play them again, because they're so much fun to listen to. The phone number is 312-981-7200. Jay says, I remember listening to Pat and Ron as a teen helping my dad with chores, and it made them bearable. Let's see. Jason from Wheeling says, thanks for reminding me how Pat and Ron made some tough Cubs seasons worth following to the end. Let's see. James says, I've never heard this Pat and Ron moment replayed, but the Cubs played a late season game years ago in Milwaukee, and a male streaker ran out onto the field. Ronnie commented that as soon as the guy ran out there, you could tell he was a short reliever. And Pat couldn't say a word. And 847 area code says, I love the songs that Pupkin came up with when you were playing the Pat and Ron clips. Yeah, those were great. Good old Pupkin. A lot of time on his hands. Well, he had a lot of time on his hands. All right, let's get back to the clips. This one is just simply entitled Bug Attack.
A large bug has just flown into our booth here.
You notice Pat is moving around. He might be gone in a minute.
Matt Bolt says it's a praying mantis. I'm doing some praying myself. Here is a swing and a foul off to the right out of play.
Did it go in your briefcase?
No, but thanks for asking. He is right up on the wall. Man, oh, man. That guy looks like he could eat about three Big Macs.
Man, oh, brave. Engineer, producer, jumps up with a piece of paper and yells as he's running away.
Bottom of the eighth inning, oh, Cubs lead 10-2. And here is Geronimo Heel. We all felt like a heel during that commercial break. There is a strike, and it's 0-1. And we should point out Matt Bolts bravely grabbed a piece of paper. Swing and a miss. And Matt did not get great elevation on his jump, it should be pointed out.
Well, he was very loud as he threw the paper.
I thought he was going to kind of reach up. Here's a swing and a miss, strike three. Wood has struck out Heel, one away. And the batter, Baker. Cubs lead 10-2 in the eighth inning.
No, this is Marmol.
Okay. This is a little distracting with our friend Larry up over our heads. Larry the praying mantis. Didn't think he'd be here tonight. Here's Baker hitting it foul off to the right and out of play.
You're right. It's 6 inches long.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some spring-like legs.
Matt Bolts, though, jumped up.
Oh.
He got a full inch and a half off the ground with that jump. Here is a pitch inside in the count 1-1.
It was one of those jumps, a reverse pivot. In other words, he was going the other way when he jumped.
But it was heroic, and we appreciate that.
Oh, no, it was not.
I didn't see you jump up there with any paper. Here's a swing and a miss. And the count 1-2.
I didn't want to. It's not bothering me. It's not bothering anybody.
That's some of the hardest I've ever heard Ron laugh during that. And again, a blowout. The Cubs were up 10-2 at that point.
That's when they were the best because they had time to kill.
Yeah. All right. Ted, the one that you requested.
Miso soup.
Here we go.
I mentioned Nelson Figueroa is from Brooklyn. He went to Brooklyn's Abraham Lincoln High School, graduated in 92. Now that's located in Coney Island. And, Ron, I'll tell you, it's amazing the other famous people that have gone to that Lincoln High School. Sportscaster Marv Albert, singer Neil Diamond, former Met star Lee Mazzilli went to that high school as Derek Lee bats, takes low for a ball. And the former playwright, Arthur Miller, way back in 1932. Arthur was married to Marilyn Monroe for a while.
Yeah, I remember that. Everybody was married to Marilyn Monroe.
How could you forget? Here's the 1-0 pitch. Swing and a miss by Derek Lee in the count 1-1. I beg your pardon, did you say everyone was married?
Everybody was married to Marilyn Monroe.
Well, she made some delicious miso soup, we understand.
Oh,
1-1. Here's the pitch to Derek Lee, and it's down low, 2-1. We were chuckling before the game. We were chuckling. Ronnie was not chuckling.
No, I was not chuckling.
Ronnie was sweating. Here's the 2-1 on Lee. And the pitch. Fastball is in for a strike, 2-2. But we all had some of the delicious soup that Robert Chamberlain, the chef here at Wrigley Field, cooked for us. Had a little bit of an adverse effect on you, didn't it, Ron?
We don't talk toilet talk on the air.
No, Ron had a look of great agitation on his face for a few moments there. 3-2 on Derek Lee.
Agitation, yes. Yeah, that's a good word. When I broke down the door.
Lee hits a little ground ball back to the mound. Thankfully, this inning is over. Lee bounces back to the mound. Figueroa throws out Lee. Cubs go quietly. Ron wasn't so quiet earlier. At the end of one, Cubs nothing, Mets nothing.
That is great. That is a great one. And Bolts is losing it in the background on that one. As I always say, some of the best clips are when Bolts loses it. So, all right, we got more coming up here. We are honoring Pat Hughes, who was honored yesterday with the Walk of Fame. And we're just remembering Pat and Ron in the booth with some classic clips that we used to put together with our with my show on the Pat and Ron highlight reel. Nick DiGilio, hi. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of Trib Tower here until 5 o'clock, and then we'll hang out for hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show. And we're honoring Pat Hughes and remembering Ron Santo. Pat Hughes was yesterday inducted into the WGN Walk of Fame, deservedly so. So we thought that would be a good reason to pull out some of these great old classic Pat and Ron clips. All right, I'm about to play my favorite one. This could be my favorite one of all time. It's hard to choose from because we have hours and hours of really classic, beautiful, hilarious, and fun clips. But this one, I don't know. This one might be my favorite. Here we go.
Pat, I got a email, but the gentleman did not. He's from Ellicott City, Maryland, and he's been a Chicagoan for 41 years, and now he's been out there for 18 years, and somebody's screaming down there. They ought to shoot him.
I was like a lead into my CDs about having somebody get shot. Here's a pitch in there for a strike. 0-1.
Well, I mean, that's idiot.
That always sparks a lot of sales.
Well,
here's the 0-1 fouled away off to the left. Go ahead, Ron.
You know, I'm up very much on edge today. I don't know what it is. I think once we win this game, I'll be fine.
It's a new marketing tool.
It is. It gets the attention of people.
It got mine. 0-2 on Fontenot. Cubs lead 3-0 here in the seventh.
Well, this gentleman who's going to be coming back to Chicago eventually, but heard us talk about the CDs, your CDs, and wanted to know how he could get a hold of one. So give him your email address.
Here's the 0-2. It's taken high by Fontenot. I'm letting a little more time elapse before I actually give the website run. One ball and two strikes on Fontenot. Okay, I think it's safe now. It's baseballvoices.com. Baseball, can't even say it. Here is a chopper foul right side. Go to baseballvoices.com.
Oh, gosh.
Those are commemorative tributes to baseball's greatest announcers, Harry Carey. That's the popular one for Cub fans. If you love the Cubs and you loved Harry and you like to hear highlights and you like to laugh, I think you'll love the Harry Carey CD. It's called Harry Carey, the voice of the fans, baseballvoices.com. That fan has been silenced, taken away. One ball and two strikes on Fontenot.
That kills me every single time I hear it. Yeah, somebody's out there screaming, so somebody ought to shoot him. Oh, man. So, Dan, you got one in there. Ron liked the show Jag.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, somebody had mentioned Jag, and so we played one of the clips we have, but this is another one that we found where he expresses his love for Jag and Catherine Bell.
All right.
Always some Cub fans, wherever we go, the Shomprees are here tonight. Rebecca and Ralph Shomprey, and Ralph, I think he sent notes to us before. Here's a pitch down low. Apparently, Ron, he was part of the TV production crew of the former television shows MacGyver and Jag. Two balls and two strikes. I did not watch a lot of those shows, did you?
I didn't either.
Were you a Jag fan or a MacGyver?
I love Jag. Oh, and what's her name in Jag? Oh, gosh.
Rodriguez takes strike three call.
Oh, yeah. Jag, I love.
One away, and here is Cabrera. See, I never knew this about you. I never knew you were a Jag fan.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Was there good acting, or?
It was a military thing. Had you ever watched it?
I did not, Ron. Thanks for asking, as Cabrera takes high for a ball. Go ahead.
There was Jag series, in fact.
Absolutely, and this Ralph Shomprey was part of the production crew. In fact, he brought some of the others, the key grip and a floor manager and also a ceiling manager of that show. And see, I can understand a floor manager, but I never really heard of a ceiling manager before, but we'll take his word for it. Nice to have the Shompreys here. And later on, you'll maybe tell us about an episode or two of Jag.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of the actress in that.
Swing and a
Navy.
Foul.
More Navy, yeah. You know, submarines and jet pilots.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long. I love that show.
I'll bring it up again on Cubs Radio, Ron.
It's been so long since I've... Hey, you know that actress in Jag is Kathleen Bell. I just wanted you to know that.
And you gave her a thumbs up.
I gave her a 10.
Ramirez takes low and outside for a ball. It's 1-1. Well, you'd be an authority on that, Ron. It was not only your number. You told me when you were younger, much younger.
Yes, high school.
You dated nothing but tens, I believe was the quote. Here's a throw to first, not in time.
And I think your quote was five twos.
One time, Ronnie was hitting three threes and a one.
That's great. Ronnie had good taste in women, man. Catherine Bell, she's hot, man. All right, here's this is a crowd favorite right here. I can't remember what park this was in. But someone had a sign, and was standing up, and Pat couldn't see the pitch. So here's what happened.
There are some seats right down below us where if fans stand up, they can completely block our view of the plate. And at this moment, a gentleman has stood up, and I cannot see the umpire, the catcher, or the batter. So, Ronnie, take over.
Can you sit down, please? Can you sit down, please?
Here is the 3-2 pitch on the way to Gonzalez. Fly ball to right. It's going to be caught by Hoffpower, and that ends the inning. We go to the seventh inning here at Petco Park. 3-0 San Diego. We are happy to report that that gentleman has sat down after some gentle persuasion from a certain color commentator.
Well, I mean, it just was ridiculous. Everybody's walking up to him. He'll probably stand up again. You know, they feed everybody down here, and, oh, you couldn't even see home plate.
What does that mean, they feed everybody? One of the great moments, though, was that Bolts took a picture from behind as Ron was screaming at the guy and posted it on the webpage. And the guy with the sign was blocking. You couldn't see anything. And did you see the back of Ron's head while he's screaming at the guy? All right. Here's a quick one. This is a quick one.
You know, I got a nice email here from Gene Glass, and he was bringing up, you know, he listens to us all the time. He thinks we're a really good broadcaster, really enjoy listening. And he reminded me of that.
Baker hits a fly ball to left, caught by Millage. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, he reminds you of that joke, in which I'll tell you. You know, but if you go to bed with an itchy butt, you wake up with...
Should we maybe finish this in the next inning? Three up, three down at the end of three.
Smelly fingers.
That's what I thought you were going to say. At the end of three, Cubs 14, Pirates nothing.
There's another 14 to nothing.
See, I'm telling you, it's every... The classic stuff was blowout every time because they're just... They're loopy and they ran out of stuff to say.
It's like itchy butt. I don't even know what to say. All right, we'll take a quick break. Pat Hughes, by the way, is now part of the Walk of Fame here at WGN, deservedly so, and we thought that would be a great reason to bust out these classic Pat and Ron clips. We got a couple more that we're going to play as well. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. Pat Hughes was honored yesterday by being inducted to the WGN Walk of Fame, deservedly so. And so that means we busted out some great Pat and Ron clips. We got, I think we're going to have time for one more, but a real quick call here from Willie on WGN. Hi, Willie.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right.
Good. Hey, there was a CD out back a few years ago, like the best of Pat and Ron. And on that CD, Ron mixed up the Munsters and the Addams Family.
Yep. He said that they were the same thing.
Right.
Right. He said, yeah,
he was swearing.
Yeah, we played that. We played that clip. That was one that we played on the show, yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed that one.
Yeah. And that CD, that's actually Pat Hughes' CD, Voices, Baseball Voices.
Yeah, the one with the hair burning.
That's in there. We played that earlier, too, yeah.
And El Fonseco.
Yeah.
Remember that one? He called him Al?
He called him Al Fonseca, yeah. And the interview was like 30 seconds long. It was funny. I mentioned that last week when Andy Mazur was in for Dave Ennett, and Andy Mazur said I was standing right next to him when they did it, and I couldn't believe it. Okay, Willie, thanks for the call.
All right, take care.
All right, here's the last one. This is the most, the This was from the 2010 season, which was Ron's last season. I love this clip. This is one of my favorites. It involves Sylvester Stallone's height.
During the commercial break, Judd Surratt and Ron Sato engaging in a lively debate regarding, of all things, the height of Sylvester Stallone. Sylvester Stallone. Ground ball to short. Glove by Ramirez. Go to second, one over to first. That's a double play. You can tell this weekend series is not having any adverse effect on this broadcast crew.
Well, you know, he came right out and he said 5'8". I says, no, he's not. He's 5'11". He's actually probably 5'10 to 5'11". And I'll give him anything under that. And we can make a nice dinner out for three or four. How's that?
Things getting a little rocky here in the booth. Here's a pitch down low for ball one to Starlin Castro. 7-3 Cubs in the eighth. How many Rocky movies has he made now? Five?
Oh, gosh. He's made Rocky movies. Just Rocky? Yeah, five, I think.
Here's the 1-0 to Castro inside. The count 2-0.
All right, I've got the official height on Sylvester Stallone.
Well, how do you have it? Explain that to me. Explain it to me.
Here's the 2-0 to Castro outside for a ball. Ronnie, you haven't lost yet. Well, you might be right.
What, you're going to go on the Internet and find it? Well, we'll call. We'll do something.
Do you have Sylvester's phone number?
No. But I know somebody that has it.
You want to have him just stop by the booth? We're going to L.A.
Here's the 2-1 to Castro. It's in there for a strike.
All right, what's it say on the Internet?
I'll have Boltsy read it. Five, nine and a half. You said anything under 5'10".
So let me see now. I'm doing some mathematics in my head. Ronnie thought Sylvester Stallone was 5'11".
Yeah, but yes.
Judd said 5'8".
Yeah.
The actual figure is 5'9 and a half. To me, that's right smack in the middle of you guys.
Oh, thank you, Pat. But
I thought the wager was you would pay for anything below 5'10".
Did you hear me say that?
I didn't hear it.
Thank you.
Because I have to work with you. Here's a pitch low and outside to Colvin. Ball one, 1-0.
I am going to make sure, find out. I've everybody used to say, well, he's, you know, it's almost like, who am I thinking of?
Yo, Adrian. Here's a pitch down low to Tyler Colvin.
Oh, gosh. Tom Cruise. Yeah, very good. Everybody's saying he's 5'7".
He's a pipsqueak.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Where are we going? Double or nothing on him, too?
We'll wait and see. We'll get some emails, and I'd like for somebody that really knows the height. I'd like to hear from somebody from California, especially somebody that knows them.